This is New England Public Radio's Jazz Beat. I'm Tom Reaney with a podcast edition of my jazz blog, which you can find at nepr.net. Today's podcast focuses on New England piano legend Dave McKenna. Dave McKenna's 86th birthday anniversary fell on Memorial Day this year, the same day that found the Red Sox holding a two-game lead in the American League East. For this fan of both, McKenna and the Sox are synonymous, for the jazz piano legend was famous among the local cognoscenti for concealing a transistor radio in his sport coat pocket so that he could listen to ball games during the decade he spent playing at the Copley Plaza in Boston. Ted Williams was his boyhood idol. He once told the Boston Globe, "Hey, I don't vote, but if Ted voted Republican, I'd vote Republican." He composed two catchy tunes for Williams, Splendid Splinter and Theodore the Thumper, and of the various out-of-the-way places where I ran into McKenna over the years, Fenway Park was twice the sight. In addition to those and other Boston street encounters, the most surprising meeting I ever had with Dave was when I was visiting Paris in January 1991. Once I'd got settled and headed out for a walk, I ran into him before I'd got to the corner. He'd just played some holiday gigs in Germany and had come to Paris for sightseeing and fine dining. McKenna was a renowned gourmand. For a time, he was also an easy mark for wine stewards. Dave McKenna died on Saturday, October 18, 2008. The following day, the Red Sox and Devil Rays were meeting for Game 7 of the American League Championship Series in Tampa, and it struck me that it would be fitting for Sox radio announcer Joe Castiglione to mention his passing. I wrote a short tribute and used my connection with a Boston Globe sports writer to ferry the message to the broadcast booth. Here's Castiglione's announcement, which refers to Williams simply as number 9. He voiced it as the Devil Rays were coming to the plate in the bottom of the first inning.
1-0 Boston as we moved to the last of the first inning. We were saddened to hear of the death of a longtime Red Sox fan, the great jazz pianist Dave McKenna. He passed away yesterday at the age of 78 in State College, Pennsylvania. Mr. McKenna was a native of Woonsocket and was really a great Red Sox fan. He wrote Splendid Splinter and Theodore the Thumper in honor of number 9 among his jazz credits. He's also a huge Celtics fan and was frequently in at the Pawtucket games too. Mr. McKenna often played at the Copley Plaza Hotel, and sadly here of his passing at the age of 78. Dustin Pedroia's home run is given John Lester.
For 30 years, there's been a tape in circulation of McKenna playing at the Beacon Hill home of Christopher Lydon, the host of Radio Open Source at WBUR in Boston. I often go back to it to hear Dave's rendition of Blue Skies, a tune he played often, but rarely with the interpolation of Thelonious Monk's In Walked Bud that he played at Lydon's. The harmonic sequence of Monk's tribute to Bud Powell is based on Blue Skies, the Irving Berlin song that Al Jolson sang in the first talking movie picture, The Jazz Singer.
Thank you.
Dave's version of Blue Skies knocked me out the first time I heard it, and it underscores something about his playing that gave a fresh and unique flair to his approach to popular songs and swing-era standards. Dave dug modern jazz, which, after all, was the music of his time. To be sure, Teddy Wilson, Art Tatum, and Nat King Cole were formative influences on the Woonsocket, Rhode Island native who was born in 1930. But so were Charlie Parker and Bud Powell and Dizzy Gillespie and Miles Davis. And it's terrific to hear him calling their names, along with Red Garland, Wynton Kelly, Bill Evans, and Herbie Hancock, in the bits of dialogue that punctuate the performance on the Lydon tape. Whitney Balliet described Dave as a time warp of a pianist, playing bebop in his right hand and stride in his left. He also began his affectionate New Yorker profile of the pianist by writing that Dave McKenna's life pivots on paradox. Here's one that comes to mind. When I began seeing McKenna, I was amazed at how little attention nightclub patrons paid to his playing, and dismayed at how difficult it could be to hear his powerful attack over the din of conversation. When Terry Gross interviewed Dave on Fresh Air years ago, she mentioned this same annoying phenomenon and asked if it bothered him. "Not really," he replied. "When they're quiet, I get nervous." Indeed, one need only compare Dave's nightclub and house party recordings to his studio dates to appreciate how he preferred the distractions of a nightclub to the hushed decorum of the studio and concert hall. I used to see Dave on a regular basis at roadhouses on Cape Cod, at the Copley Plaza in Boston, at Scullers and the Regatta Bar with Ruby Braff and Scott Hamilton, and at Bradley's in New York City, where I'd hang till the last note was struck around 4 a.m. Sometimes I'd even get a lift down to where I stayed on Spring Street from Dave and his driver. Especially memorable were the nights when Zoot Sims would arrive at Bradley's around 2, mount a bar stool, and blow till the wee small hours. Here's Dave and Zoot playing Errol Garner's One Good Turn. The last time I saw Dave was on his 70th birthday, May 30th, 2000, at a church in Belchertown, Massachusetts. He was as brilliant as ever, and he offered us one of his ingenious word-based medleys, this one about eyes. Them their eyes, I only have eyes for you, when Irish eyes are smiling, angel eyes, and jeepers creepers. But he was in no mood for celebration. When the MC proposed that we sing Happy Birthday to welcome him back for his second set, McKenna shot us a ray that said, "Don't dare," and no one did. But afterwards, he attended a reception at the presenter's home and was downright garrulous in talking about another promising Red Sox season. At the time, the Sox had gone 82 years without a championship. When they finally won in 2004, I thought immediately of Dave. I first heard McKenna at the Columns in West Ennis on Cape Cod in 1971. I was an 18-year-old passing for 21, already fanatical for Duke Ellington, Charles Mingus, and the down-home soul jazz that I'd hear at jam sessions every week at the Kitty Cat Lounge in my hometown of Worcester. But seeing McKenna and colleagues like Dick Johnson and Lou Colombo, even the legendary Bobby Hackett, at a Cape Cod roadhouse inspired my love of old jazz standards and saloon songs and provided me with a humbling revelation. To hear music of this caliber played with such beauty and passion by master musicians working far from the limelight gave me a whole new insight into the workaday nature of the jazz life. Speaking of which, I once asked Dave to confirm that he was playing a regular Thursday night gig at the opulent Chatham Bars Inn on the Cape. "Oh yeah," he replied, "that's my corned beef." Corned beef, the staple of New England boiled dinners, was standard fare on Thursdays during McKenna's youth. Back in the early 70s, Dave and his colleagues impressed in me an understanding that the ritual of music making was a reward in itself, and that riches and fame were of secondary motive. In many ways, the relative obscurity of these players was one of the things that fueled my desire to pursue a career in which I might bring a little attention to their great work. Nearly 40 years later, I can tell you that it still feels like a special honor to play Dave McKenna's music on the radio. There's a striking image of Dave and guitarist Gray Sargent in Ken Franklin's book of photographs, Jazz in the Key of Light. Franklin wrote and snapped pictures for UPI's Providence Bureau for many years, and he might have had the picture in mind when he titled the book. The sumptuous volume pairs photos with short statements by Ken's subjects. Gray Sargent, who's been a member of Tony Bennett's quartet for over 15 years, had this to say. "I usually wouldn't pick the duo as my favorite format, but I love playing with Dave. He is like a whole orchestra. He affects my playing melodically. There are all kinds of twists and surprises in where he takes a song." Alas, Sargent's remarks now rest in the past tense, but McKenna's recorded legacy thrives, mostly among the sizable tribe of fans worldwide who enjoy the steady series of McKenna nightclub recordings that his family makes available through the website DaveMcKennaPiano.com. The most recent of these comes from a Sunday afternoon performance at the Columns in the early 70s, and it swings so hard you'd think rail lines were running below the Cape's tidal flats. The set includes 21 songs and runs for 88 glorious minutes. One quick listen will reveal why McKenna is a keyboard giant of mythic proportions, and why I was totally mystified by the almost complete absence of available recordings on him at the time. Later on, Chiaroscuro, Concord Jazz, and Arbors presented Dave fairly adequately on record, but this is the kind of date that was for patrons only. I'm happy to have been among them, and grateful that the McKenna family is letting us all in on the experience 45 years later. For McKenna's performances at the Columns and at Chris Lydon's home, as well as a set of McKenna and Tony Bennett on film at the Copley Plaza, visit the jazz blog at nepr.net. Thanks to Katie Wright for production assistance. For Jazz Beat, I'm Tom Reaney.